Proverbs 22, verse 28. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set.
We talk about landmarks. And again, the wise man Solomon reminds us, remove not the ancient landmarks. There's something about a landmark. Well, it marks a piece of land, a piece of territory that belongs to an individual. And so it could have been a stone that was placed. It could have been a post that was stuck in the ground to, you know, a stob of some sort. Even in my neighborhood, you can go and you can find each little land marker, if you will, in that way. And so sometimes it was as simple as a tree that had been planted. Well, the tree gets old and maybe gets knocked over in the wind and cut down. Well, they would put something else up in its place because that landmark was important to that family, to the one who owned the land, obviously. And so the wise man Solomon writing is really making a statement, but it's a logical statement. Don't remove a landmark, right? Because it's there, it serves a purpose. It has a reason that it's there, and I think that's important. Eve, you can go all the way back into the history of the Egyptians and think about even geometry, of course, known for building the pyramids, but also known for land surveying as well in their history. And so it comes back in thinking about land allotments. I think everyone understands that when it comes to landmarks. But here's the thought. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 14 reminds us this part of the law of Moses before entering into the land. You shall not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set. And you remember that in that inheritance, they were given certain pieces of property. They were given land. Of course, each, when they entered into the land of Canaan, each tribe, if you will, was given a certain land allotment. And so those things were laid out by landmarks nonetheless. But then each family within that tribe would have gotten their land as well. And so this reminder in the law of Moses, do not remove your neighbor's landmark, which the men of old have set. Almost just said old men, but we'll just say the men of old. That's the way it's worded there in the New King James. In your inheritance, which you shall inherit in the land. And so even before taking the land, they were given this warning. Don't mess with the landmarks. It's that important. Don't remove, don't move, don't shift it in any way. Obviously, that would be deceitful. And the purpose would be maybe to act like you had something that wasn't even yours. And so it would really be theft. And they considered it as such. And so in your inheritance, which you shall inherit in the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And I think part of that, thinking about that background, this was what God was providing for the children of Israel. This is what God was given to them. And so that reminder was there. But also then in the law of Moses, you have that reminder. Don't mess with your neighbor's landmark. That was important. Well, there's more to it than that. Of course, they were marking the border lines of a territory or something, but it goes even further. In fact, in Deuteronomy 27, still haven't gone into the land yet, Deuteronomy 27 and verse 17, there was, in fact, a curse for removing such. And so now it's not just a warning to do so, but if you do it, here is a curse that's going to go, that will be against you. Hosea 5 and verse 10, Judah had left God for a time, and what was said about their sin was that it was like those who would remove a landmark. Now think about that. This is serious. When you talk about the biblical history of the use of landmarks, it was that important. Of course, there is a spiritual application then to the idea of a landmark. I think about then those who have gone before in preaching the gospel, reminders to us to preach the word, right? To stay in the word, to speak where the Bible speaks, be silent where the Bible speaks. But long before those ideas were quoted in the restoration movement, We have Bible itself, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatian brethren. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him and that you're turning away so soon from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel or a different gospel, which is not another, not a different one. But there be some who would trouble and pervert the gospel of Christ. And so there were those who were coming along and preaching yet something completely different, some other gospel, something that was in fact different from what they had heard from the Apostle Paul. And so he says that there are those who are perverting, they're twisting, they're changing in some way. Well, you may start picking up on this idea than what we're talking about, because the spiritual application is we must not depart from God's Word. God's Word is, as it were, a landmark. And we have to understand where that boundary is. And the Apostle Paul, warning the church at Galatia, he warns them. He says that though we or an angel from God preach any other gospel unto you than that we've preached, let him be accursed. And then he repeats himself. And then he says this, for do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I still please men, I would not be the bondservant of Christ. Paul says, I'm a servant of Christ. I'm preaching the gospel. That's what you will hear from me. And so those who are not preaching the same gospel that you've heard from me, they're going to be accursed. And the implication is then that those who would follow them would be accursed as well. How sad is that? But that's the very point. We must not depart from God's Word, because certainly then it is seen as a landmark itself. We have those warnings in Scripture. Do not add to it, or in fact take away from it. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. The Apostle John writing, he says, for I testify to everyone that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, from that holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Proverbs 30. Wise man writes these words in verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. You could very easily say every word of God is as a landmark, and we must not remove it, must not add to it, must not shift it to the side in any direction. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Then we go back to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, and we see very similarly, this time Moses saying this, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Now think about just how important that is. We're talking about spiritual landmarks, the Word of God. We must not depart from it ourselves. We must not add to it. We must not subtract from it. It is a landmark. We must not substitute anything else for it. Now, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, the very point is there are those who would try to come and substitute something else for it. Try to put something else in its place. Something else in place of God's Word. Something else maybe in place of the Lord's church. You can see how then we could continue on with this line of thinking. And over we could continue and see when we have the real thing, we're to stick with it. That it is in fact that landmark, whether it be God's Word or the Lord's church. Those things are true, and they're meant to be in the place where they are, and they're there for a reason. There's a reason for that. It's for our good. It's for our salvation. It's for our redemption. It's for our justification before God. It's so that we might have eternal life as our home. How important is that then when we talk about a spiritual landmark such as the Word of God or even the Lord's church? But obviously there are those who have tried to produce some sort of something similar to, and yet it's still a counterfeit. And isn't that what Jesus explained, that every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted, it will be rooted up. That very idea that Jesus taught concerning his Father in Matthew chapter 15 is a warning then to those who would add or substitute in some way for that landmark which God has put before us. Brother Bowles in his outline talks about landmarks of custom. Some customs, he says, should be changed. And there are worthy debates about what possibly could be changed as such. There are some that probably should be changed. And you can think about some of those things. Then he says some, though, that should not be changed. And there are principles to consider when it comes to this. Is something better? Scriptural? If it's scriptural, then we can consider it. If it's something that's scriptural that we could do, and it's better than what we have been doing, though it's custom that we've been doing it this particular way, which you might use another word there, tradition, but something is in fact better, then it could be moved. But if something is obviously not scriptural, don't touch it. If something is not better, but it is scriptural, then maybe it's better to leave them alone. And there has to be some wise counsel concerning those things. And thankful that we have elders who see and help and lead in those areas especially. There are some principles, however, that do not change. Brother Bowles gives a list of three just briefly. Honesty. Now think about honesty. And you know, what do we say? Honesty is the best policy. Well, of course it is, because that's what's right. That just makes sense, right? That's logical. Because that which comes from God is that which is going to be true. And so the next one directly tied to it is truthfulness versus deceitfulness in some way. So you have honesty, truthfulness, and then I would add this one, justice. Those are things that we can see, principles that do not change. If you take those out of the picture, then you have chaos, in fact. And you have, once you take honesty out of the picture, and it doesn't matter if a person's honest or not, or being truthful or not, then and there's no justice for doing wrong because we've taken wrong, right and wrong completely out of the picture, then what you ultimately have is pure chaos, and nobody really wants that. Not even the anarchists. They don't really want that. If they begin to think about if you tied them down to what that really means for them, they wouldn't want that as well. And so Brother Bowles will talk about landmarks of custom or tradition. Then he talks about landmarks of the church. And again, thinking about the Lord's church, first thing that we might see that is a landmark would be one having to obey the gospel. And yet we see plenty of counterfeit ideas in the world today, some who would pull up those landmarks and try to plant faith only, or try to say, well, you just got to be a good person, or all you have to do is accept Jesus, or all you have to do is pray this sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. And those those landmarks of truth have been rooted up, and those have been placed for the world to see as if they are in the proper place, but they're not. Yes, one has to believe. One has to have faith. But that faith, when you study it, leads one to be obedient unto God. Whatever God has set forth. Well, he sent his Son. And he said, hear my Son. Listen to what he has to say. And his Son has given us his word. And his Son has told us exactly what we must do in order to be saved. And if we fail to do it, we're going to be lost. That's a landmark that the Lord has put in place, and we better not mess with it. And so obedience to the gospel. And then I would add this one to that, because this is how we typically follow it up. We give the Lord's invitation at the end of a sermon, right? And then about obeying the gospel. And then we go right into the idea about being faithful, right? So what is then the standard of Christian character, Christian living? Again, it would be this landmark, right? It would be his word. And we can go to it and we can find out that we need to be honest people, and we need to be a loving people, and we need to be submissive unto God and submitting one to another in the fear of God, Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Knowing then that he has set forth a landmark for our character, how we're to live this life, but ultimately He, God, is the landmark because He is good. We are to see His character and want to be like Him. And that's important. These are landmarks of the church. The idea, that, again, that we should bring in no new dogmas or teachings or doctrines, creeds, and so on and so on. The prophet of old, Jeremiah, made this statement that we are to seek the old paths. The old paths. Well, I know that that's not very popular today because we don't want what's old, we want what's new, right? What's new and shiny, because it has to be better, right? How many times have we been fooled by that? Just because something's new and shiny, we assume it to be better. And we've spent our hard-earned money on it, but it turned out the old, in fact, was better in some form or fashion, some way. But Jeremiah says, seek the old paths. Go back to the Scripture and ask for those ways and follow them. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Jude would write and say that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. Jude, verse 3, the American Standard, 1901, reads, earnestly contend for the faith. Well, what's so important about the faith? Doesn't everyone have some type of faith? Yes, but that's not what he's talking about, is it? He's talking about the gospel system of faith. He's talking about the new covenant. He's talking about the New Testament. He's talking about the Bible, God's Word. It is that landmark that must not be moved. I mentioned those pioneer preachers from years past. Those who preached truth long before us, reminding us to go back, to see those landmarks, to stand on them as truth, the reminder not to remove them in any way. But Brother Bowles, in his day and age, also understood that, looking back to preachers of old and thinking this same thing. And he also made this point. We need faithful men today who will do the very same thing, who will seek the old paths, ask for those old ways, and stand there in them to preach boldly the truth of God as a landmark that should never be moved, to teach it, to live it, to show it to others every day in their lives. I would add to that, then, we need faithful men and women who will help others see God, who will help them see Scripture as God's Word. There's another principle that reminds us, I think, that one departure typically leads to another. You know, when you think about landmarks, and if somebody's taking a plot of land, just say it's in a it's a long rectangle, and somebody starts moving this property line, well, someone eventually is going to notice and say, you know, my property line is not quite where it was supposed to be. I'm pretty sure that it's right here, and they get that checked. Well, over here, oh yeah, well, I didn't mean to move that. Well, let me just move that back over here, and come to find out, then they've also then moved yet the other corner as well, trying to expand in some form or fashion in that. In other words, there's typically one departure that'll lead to yet another departure, and on and on and on the idea goes. And here's how we see that by way of illustration. We see it today in denominations. We see those who had difficulty with one particular doctrine, one particular teaching of Scripture. Well, I don't believe that's the case, and so this is what I believe. They get a little bit of a following, and then they start up their own group. That's how many have started throughout history, religious history. We see that then in the denominational world. We also see it even in the early church history. When you go back and you start thinking about what ultimately ended up into Catholicism, where you had a small departure by way of leadership. It wasn't really all that small. But say, rather than autonomous congregations overseeing their own works, you'd have a city congregation that was a larger congregation oversee the work of a country congregation over here because they had more people over here. And so they would send one of their guys over here, and he would be the bishop over this particular group, and so on. And they broke from what we see in Scripture, what was in fact meant to be by way of the government of the church. And of course, long, not just one departure, but yet another and another and another. So much so that in the 15th century, Martin Luther, who was a Catholic priest, would nail up his 99 theses on the door of the Catholic Church so that they could see these are the 99 things that need to be fixed about the Catholic Church. There were probably much more than that, but that's the ones that he seemed to think were the most important ones that needed to get changed. I think even a little over 100 years ago, when the instrument was reintroduced into, quote, Christianity, New Testament Christianity, you have those who got on board with it, separated themselves, began what's now termed the Christian church, and even the Disciples of Christ movement. And when you go back and you study those movements, you see, okay, well, that was one moving of a landmark, adding an instrument into worship. But some of those very same groups today, you can see that it's not just the instrument in which we differ. It might be the role of women. It might be the leadership. It might be any number of things. And so I would go back and I would say that it wasn't the instrument that was the first departure. It wasn't the first landmark that was moved. It was Bible authority. That's where they moved first. And so, as Brother Bowles reminds us through this lesson, the reminder that the wise man Solomon says, remove not the ancient landmarks. We have a reminder that this too is a landmark. Don't add to or take away from it. Simply follow it. The New Testament pattern in which we see the Lord's church, salvation, worship, Christian living, all of those things are given to us as a landmark for us to follow and to know the boundaries and to know wherein to stay, to be faithful unto God, to be pleasing unto God. This evening we'll end with this thought. You know, our Lord has established His kingdom, His church, has made a way that we can be saved, has made a way that we can have salvation, be freed from sin. And how glorious it is and how wonderful it is to know that truth. We find it in Scripture. Jesus simply says, you must believe that I am here. You'll die in your sins, John 8:24. We must repent of those sins, Luke 13 and verse 3 and verse 5. It's repeated as well. We must be willing to confess our faith in Christ, Matthew 10:32, and be baptized to wash away our sins, Acts 22 and verse 16. That's our Lord's plan for salvation. Those very first steps we take, and then we continue to learn as disciples of Christ all those things which our Lord has commanded in His Scripture, in His Word, so that we might continue to be faithful and walk faithfully day by day. This evening, if you have a need, if we can help in some way, or you need the prayers of the church here, we're glad to help. Won't you come to the front while we stand, while we sing this song?